In the annals of environmental disasters, the case of the Exxon Valdez oil spill in Alaska in 1989 was certainly one of the worst. A tanker spill that made clear how vulnerable the environment is to the transport of fossil fuels, let alone the burning of them for energy.
One of America's most magnificent waterways is blackened and befouled tonight by the biggest oil spill in American history.
The Retro Report documentary team's focus this week is to look back at the impact of the huge amount of oil released into Alaska's Prince William Sound when the Exxon Valdez tanker broke up in Alaskan waters. Scott Michaels, reporter for Retro Report, sent a team back to Alaska to see evidence of the spill and to find any signs in the industry of lessons learned.
I mean, at the time, it was really a devastating event. There were 11 million gallons of oil spilled. More than 200,000 birds were killed, several thousand other otters and other types of marine animals. So, I mean, it was a huge event, and it was something that impacted the community there for decades to come.
One of the voices in your report is Ricky Ott, who's an environmental activist. Listen.
Prince William Sound is not the same as it was. The environment still has not fully recovered, and we're over two decades into this now.
Exxon spent more than $2 billion cleaning up the spill, but there is still oil there buried beneath the surface of some of the beaches. It's a comparatively small amount compared to the amount that was spilled, but the oil seems to be degrading at a very slow rate, so that if you dig beneath the surface of some of the beaches, you can actually still come across what appears to be fresh oil.
And economically speaking, you don't have to be an environmentalist to understand that the impacts are still being felt. Here's fisherman Mike Weber.
The community is still very depressed. 500 people left. That's a lot in a small community. I'll never recover from the oil spill.
Prince William Sound is a fishing community, and a lot of fishermen went into financial debt after the spill. And because the lawsuit against Exxon dragged on for so long, it wasn't resolved until almost 20 years after the spill. The fact that it took so long really made it much more difficult for people there to move on, both financially and emotionally.
A lot of what the principal value of Retro Report is that you get to see a story in a different light. How do you see the Exxon Valdez disaster differently?
The thing that I sort of had remembered from just hearing about it was that the captain had been drinking, and that was sort of the cause of the accident. I think that's something that probably the one thing that most people recall from that.
The human error.
Yeah, the human error. And I think that was really a very small part of what actually caused this. There was a much bigger breakdown in the system that was meant to protect against these kind of accidents and against these kind of spills.
And the question is, were lessons learned, particularly in light of subsequent, much more recent disasters?
Yeah, I mean, I think that some of the lessons were learned and some were not. In the wake of Exxon Valdez, new legislation was passed to deal with oil tanker spills and to improve safety in that regard. But the legislation really didn't deal with other aspects of the oil industry, such as offshore oil drilling. And the other big issue is in terms of the response to major spills. The equipment and the technology used to respond to them really hasn't improved a whole lot since 1989. And then when you came to the Deepwater Horizon spill in 2010, really they were using basically the same kinds of tools to deal with the oil once it had been released into the environment.
And, one of the most interesting voices in this story is Bob Graham, who's co-chairman of the National Commission on that BP Deepwater Horizon oil spill, talking about sort of what's transpired since the Exxon Valdez. Here, listen.
I used the phrase that the offense got way ahead of the defense. The potential risk had increased dramatically, but there'd been no commensurate increase in our capability to avoid an accident or to respond to it.
So he sees it clearly. The technology to clean up had not improved, and yet the risk had increased because of the proliferation of offshore drilling platforms and the proliferation, let's just say it, of tankers.
In the years running up to the Deepwater Horizon spill, there had been a pretty significant expansion in offshore oil drilling and an expansion into deeper and deeper waters. And that brought with it an increased risk that you might have a worst-case scenario spill like this. And I think that the sense of Senator Graham and other congressmen who have looked into this is the money and the attention that was being paid to thinking about how are we going to respond to a worst case scenario spill really wasn't adequate to the risk that was there.
And still isn't.
Since then there have been the government and the oil industry have spent quite a bit of money to come up with a way to cap deep water wells. So there have been new commitments to spend money and to be prepared. But, the next accident may be completely different. And just like during that – right in the aftermath of Exxon Valdez, a number of people who looked at the incident said, well, you should, recognize that the next oil industry accident, may be a very different type of accident. Since the Deepwater Horizon spill, there has been more money to deal with a deep water blowout. But there are other areas of the oil industry and other risks.
And the cleanup technology has not really changed that much. We saw the same, being used in the Gulf as was used in Alaska. Some questionable chemicals added to the mix, but still the technology roughly the same.
Right, yeah.
Scott Michaels, reporter for Retro Report. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.